This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Morning. All right, it is 9:30, so I will call this meeting to order, and I would ask Mark to call the roll.
Sadazan?
Here.
Kramer?
Here.
Barnett?
Here.
Clark?
Here.
Darnell?
Here.
Williams?
Here.
And Beck?
Here.
Quorum's present.
Great, thank you. So again, today's meeting is being broadcast live, and it'll also be archived on the boards and commission. Just as everyone did, make sure you turn your microphone off when you talk to it. When the email notifications, if you go to the boards and commission's website, you can sign up for that. And then also welcome to Kelly Beck from the Department of Transportation, who is our newest board member. And with that, I would ask for an motion to approve the agenda, so unless there's any changes that anyone had to it.
So moved.
Second.
A move by Kramer, second by Darnell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes. Next, I would ask for an approval of the minutes, or if anyone has any changes to the minutes as posted on our website from the March 14th meeting.
Madam Chair, one slight correction. Mm-hmm. Section 9, I think the word is supposed to be conform and not confirm.
Okay.
With that, if there are no other changes, I would move approval.
Second? Perfect. With that change, moved by Kramer, second by Sadazan. That. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? That has passed. Next, we'll move to our reoccurring discussion items. First, we do not have any subrecipient audit notifications from legislative audit, so we don't have any of those to discuss. And the next would be a GOAC update. And I would just talk, they had a meeting on Monday, June 11th, here in Pier. They discussed a lot of performance management indicators with various agencies. They also discussed some of the single audit findings for game fish, education, and social services. Those are something from the single audit, so we have talked about those here in the past. GOAC just got an update from the agencies on where they're at with those. One thing I would note is that I did present some of our BFM's performance indicators, and some of that stuff did have to do with the internal control. They wanted more specifics on, are we meeting our goals for the internal control framework? And so we didn't have, really a box to check to say this is done and this is done. So one of their suggestions, and we're still working on it, we haven't gone back to them, but one of their suggestions was maybe to have how many agencies do you want done each year? Do you want one or two agencies so that at least when we come back, we can say, yes, we have it done, or no, here's where they're at. So we will look at that, maybe adding something, what maybe a timeline or something, a checklist for as far as internal control framework. So we're working on that, and we'll follow up. So that's basically, legislative audit also discussed some local bank accounts, and a lot of it was just kind of an informational meeting for them. And then, again, questions on their performance management indicators. So other than that, that's about all the GOAC meeting was, unless there's any questions on anything that happened. I know some of you were actually there, but there's questions on it. The only thing that really pertained to this board were audit findings that we'd already talked about, as well as the internal control framework stuff. And we will get you more detail on that later in the agenda as well. Any questions? Okay. So the next item, the code of conduct for boards and commissions. And I think, Ann, are you going to address that?
Yes, Ann Holzhauser, Assistant Attorney General. You all should have in your packets or on the available on the website the code of conduct. Since the last meeting, it was modified to include some of the comments that were made at the last meeting. In addition, there was a sentence added at the end of the first paragraph, actually two sentences regarding modifications to the code, when changes must be brought before the state board. And lastly, there was added a date on it and a reference at the end that it was assuming that the board adopts the code, that it was adopted pursuant to the statute.
I think, and the concerns that a lot of the we heard from the different council member board members and their attorneys were, if it doesn't completely conform to what that specific board wants, could they make minor changes without every single wording changing having to come here? And that's why that sentence was added, that statement saying, yes, if you're just tweaking this to make it fit what your board is or what your council does, that's fine. But if you're making a substantial change, and I think when we say, how will we know if it's a substantial change, I think what we've communicated with them is that they'll need to work through Mark and Anne if they have changes, and then we'll kind of have an internal discussion on whether or not that needs a board vote. And we can always talk about, hey, these are some of the changes we've had here. So it's not that it'll just change whenever they want it. I mean, however they want it to, but giving a little bit of leeway so that this board isn't voting on every wording change for the next year as they make it fit to what they need. Any questions on that?
Madam Chair, just one thing. I don't know if this has come up before. The Unified Judicial System has a couple of commissions and boards. JQC is the one I'm thinking of, Judicial Qualifications. There's also a CASA Commission. I know they've taken the position, since the UJS is exempted from adopting this, that our boards and commissions under our authority are also exempt. I don't know if that should be in that first purpose statement or if you would agree with that interpretation, but I think that might be an issue that comes up based on the language that seems to make this a very broad sweep.
Okay. And so you would propose adding something where excluding those under the purview of the unified judicial system?
Yeah, and I'd probably add to that second sentence of the purpose statement, excluding the unified judicial system, or a separate sentence that excludes the UJS from this would be my suggestion.
And when that was originally, I mean, obviously the reason for that being adopted is because those type of boards already have something. It's not because they don't want to have this. It's because they already have been operating with that.
Yes, that's correct.
So then at the end of board members, add a statement that says excluding the unified judicial system, or does it need to say excluding the boards under the unified judicial system?
What if we were to add at the beginning, and I don't disagree with that, what if we were to add at the beginning of the sentence, this code, insert prior to that, with the exception of those under the purview of UJS,
that'd be
comma,
yep.
Blah, blah.
That'd be great. Thank you, Anne.
Okay. Any other questions or concerns on that? Okay. So what I'd be looking for, I'm going to read this. This would be the motion. A motion to adopt the Code of Conduct and Conflict of Interest Policy as amended for use by state authority, board, commission, and committee members as minimum standards, which may be modified as needed to fit the circumstances of a particular entity, provided that any change that constitutes a substantive omission must be approved by the State Board of Internal Control as set forth in this document. So I need a motion on that.
Madam Chair, just a question.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously not that familiar with UJS rules and regulations. So this is a statute that excludes them from having to comply with this. Is that what I'm understanding? So
it's in the internal control framework. In the statute that they passed, UJS is excluded from all of it.
All right.
Yes.
So with that, I would make a motion to approve the Code of Conduct and Conflict of Interest Policy for use by state authority, boards, commissions, and committee members with that change.
Okay. There's a motion. Can I have a second?
I second that.
Okay, moved by Kramer, second by Williams. And we will do a roll call vote for that.
Satterzahn?
Aye.
Kramer?
Aye.
Barnett?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Darnall?
Aye.
Williams?
Aye.
Beck?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. That's passed. Motion passed. Next, we have the subrecipient agreement template update, and I would ask Mark to address that, please.
Madam Chair, so this past legislative session, Senate Bill 100 was passed, adding several components, one of which was requiring that any subrecipients must disclose any conflicts of interest that they have to the state, and then those have to be posted to the OpenSD website. So working with counsel, we have decided to add language here under Section 8 of the template that the board adopted last year. This is slightly different than what was on the website last week. We worked with the Board of Regents on including an additional statement at the beginning. This is only applicable to if it's from a state agency to a non-state agency. So that's included in this language here. The agencies would be responsible for making sure that they get the form that goes on the OpenSD website, but this puts that requirement and puts the subrecipient on notice that they will be posted publicly. So any questions? I'll stand by.
Any questions on that language?
Clear, can you, Madam Chair, sorry. Can you clarify for me, Mark, where the language is that addresses that it's only subrecipients that between non-state entities that have to fill this out? I'm not sure that I track that.
Oh, correct. So if you look on what's on the boards here, the first statement, if subrecipient is a non-state agency, they agree to disclose to the state in writing any conflicts of interest. And that was language that was added to Senate Bill 100 during the amendment process last year. Last session, excuse me.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I have a couple. Yeah, I realize that's the only change to the form that we're agreeing to today. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, yep, that's correct.
Could we talk about a couple other possible changes? thought that the guidance was really helpful, but there's just a couple of things that I think it would be worth correcting. In Section 10, this is just me reading everything thoroughly. It says BIRD anti-lobbying. I think it's supposed to be a lobbying amendment. I didn't quite understand the Section 25. It says, does this agreement involve protected health information? I assume this is the document that's posted. Is the no supposed to be checked for everybody and that's a given, or is that just a form error?
I think that's just a form error.
Okay.
The template can be changed.
Sure, yep. That's what I wondered. Okay. That was all I had, Madam Chair.
Anyone else? Any other questions? So then, if not, I would need a motion to adopt the revised subrecipient agreement as the standard tool in the internal control process in accordance with 2 CFR 200.330 and 200.331. This template shall be used for all new agreements or contracts with federal fund subrecipients entered into or on or after July 1, 2018. So I need a motion to approve that.
Okay, it seems pretty straightforward. Motion to approve.
A second?
A second.
Moved by Narnell, second by Kramer, and this will be a voice vote. Can we do a voice vote? Do I need to do a roll call? We'll do a roll call.
Sadazan?
Aye.
Kramer?
Aye.
Barnett?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Darnall?
Aye.
Williams?
Aye.
Beck?
Aye.
All in favor.
Okay, so that has passed. Next, Mark is going to give us an update on where we're at with the internal control framework project. Go ahead.
Yep. So at the last meeting, we had just begun meeting with our consultants. Since that time, we sent out a survey to internal control officers and agency staff asking some general questions about the state of internal controls and their agencies. Based on those responses, we then had interviews, approximately 20 interviews with people representing various agencies across the state. And we used that information to form our understanding of where the state's at, each individual agency in terms of internal controls right now. We formed a steering committee representing a cross-section of all state agencies. That steering committee met over four different sessions, and based on what we discussed in those meetings, we have a draft framework outline. Right now where we're at is we're completing the language in that framework. Also, we're doing the pilot implementation at BFM, and that's going to help formulate some of the final parts of the framework. At that time, the intent is to then go back to the steering committee, get their take, and see if we need to make any tweaks. And then at that point, we'll bring it to the board for adoption. So
what I would add to that is as we're doing the BFM pilot, we're kind of having conversations on what should come to the board, what's too much information, not enough information. We'll for sure want you to have a vote on the framework to make sure that we agree that's the direction we go before we start implementing it into other agencies. But as we're going through the process, I think we're kind of determining when's the best time to bring something. You know, do you want to do it a couple times as agencies are going through the process rather than just at the end? And so those are some of the things that we are working with the consultants and making sure that that's part of the decision making, that it's, again, we're obviously right now into the details of how we would do this and identifying our risks and things like that within BFM. You don't want it to be information where it's not pertinent and it just kind of knowing that we're a smaller agency. And if we set that precedent, then if we do a larger agency, it would be kind of too information overload, not necessarily beneficial. So we're continuing to analyze that. And then again, we will come and do a couple different things and we can always change how it's presented, but we're trying to figure out the best way and the best way to get the information out there. And to all of you so that when you do vote, you are aware of what's going on instead of just, you know, voting on a template that we worked on. Do you guys have any questions? The steering committee has been really helpful. I know the consultants have said that, you know, they are trying to reassure agencies that as they have things set up, this isn't just to get rid of all that and start over, that that will be implemented in and the controls they have and the risks they've identified and what they're doing now will be implemented in. It won't be start over. You have to do it this way now. So, you know, other agencies are farther along and in different places as they've met as the consultants and Mark have went out and met with agencies. And I think that's been really beneficial and helping on how to set it up and what the template should look like, what questions we should ask, that kind of stuff. So it's gone really well so far. They've set up a timeline for us that within BFM that we're trying to, different deadlines that we're trying to meet internally, which what we're doing is we picked divisions based on, you know, obviously we have year end. So we picked divisions based on where they're going to be at in the fiscal year so that they more than one person can dedicate real time to making it successful and getting the information they need and then evaluating so that when it does come to your agencies that we can say, okay, that realistically, this is how much time you need to spend. This is how many people you should have assigned. And then we're also We're assigning at least two people in each division within BFM to kind of be an expert on this and come to multiple meetings so that when we do roll out into the agencies, it's not just Mark or it's not just one budget analyst or one accounting analyst, but multiple people so that when they do come, there can be a team of five people or whatever that come helps the agencies and the different divisions on here's what you would have to focus on. And then as we roll into the agencies, we'll ask the agencies to kind of assign people so that they can help the next one as well to be kind of a question and answer to ask, help the process and improve it as much as we can as we go along. And that's one thing that we have learned is that it is fluid and they will constantly make changes and make it, you know, we know it's not cookie cutter and that what happens with BFM is this is how everyone's going to do it. They're trying to make it so that it can be changed and tweaked so that it fits the needs of each agency and is still useful and not something that we just fill out and put on the shelf, but it's something that is a living document that agencies actually will find useful once it's the painfulness of writing it and identifying everything is down the road farther. So do you guys have any questions on anything with... We don't have, I mean, we're just starting with BFM. I think we've had, each division's had a meeting right now. So we're just, we have a couple hours where we've met and tried to identify risks and identify, and for obviously for BFM, it's a little bit, what are risks that we control versus what are risks that we see as risks, but that the agencies really control, that that's not something we control. And then, you know, when we're looking at our financial systems, for BFM, those are risks like the payroll system. We maintain and run that. But a lot of those risks are out, would be a bit risk that, or an HR risk that we can't, that would have to be on their list. And so part of that's what we're doing is, okay, this is a risk, but this needs to be on somebody else's and ours because the system goes down. We need BIT to come and help. And if information's entered incorrectly, we need BHR to help. And so that's kind of where we're going through that. For you, for most agencies, it'll be more outside consumers, whereas for us, it is agencies and a lot of the agencies and employees that are be are as we identify stuff.
Question, Liza. Mm-hmm. Given that the boards and commissions are often a lot different structurally than state government, do you see that the framework will? I mean, you just mentioned payroll. We have a different payroll system. Mm-hmm. And as I know, we have representation on the team as well, so I think that's certainly helpful. But will the framework, you know, be pretty seamless in the way it's applied across the boards and commissions as well, given that we are different and that things are, you know, we feed the state accounting system, we use our own accounting system, things yep. like that. So just a question.
Right, yeah, we're building it with the mindset that every agency is very unique, and so we need to make sure that we have something that's flexible enough to be applicable. And we think we've got that right level. That obviously, that's why once we complete it and it's finished, we're going to take it back to that steering committee. And as you said, you have representation there, and there's for the other boards and commissions, there's agency representatives that have a lot of experience with those too. They're thinking about those things, and those are questions that we're asking them, making sure. So,
and we've done a lot of kind of explaining just the South Dakota state government structure and how the unified judicial system and the Board of Regents and how they all feed to the same thing, but they're completely separate or different. And so they're sensitive to that when helping us write that. Any other questions? Okay. Well, I think this will be an ongoing every internal control board meeting. We will give you some sort of an update, whether it be something that you can actually read and look at or us just walking through where we're at in the process. But like he talked about the steering committee, but if there's agencies that have questions or want to be a part of it, feel free to reach out to Mark Kwasny, and he can certainly give any information. I think right now it's been really good. Agencies have been contacting. There's been a lot of back and forth, and everyone does understand how important this is. So they're wanting to be part of the process from the ground up just to make it easier in the end, which is good. With that, are there any, the next thing on here is other on the agenda is other discussion items. Does anybody have anything else?
I just have some questions about the Senate Bill 100 guidance.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about that for a second. One of the items on that memorandum that went out to the agencies is, it says Section 3, Conflict of Interest Disclosure. Mark, it says BFM plans to recommend a modification to Section 21 of the current subrecipient agreement template adopted by the State Board of Internal Control to include language to meet this new requirement at the June 18th meeting. I didn't see any changes to Section 21 of the document, so I was just wondering, is that coming later? Is it something we need to do?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Yep. So in working with counsel, so originally when we were drafting that memorandum, they we identified Section 21. Counsel said the first 10 sections are mandatory. After that, it's agencies have a little more flexibility in what they put in, and so they thought Section 8 would be a better point. So we'll update the memorandum guidance to show that and resend it out. But that change that we made today gives us compliance.
Okay.
With that section.
All right. And then the last one, and I would just, and Liza and I have talked about this as well, and it's that Section 8 that talks, that changes the requirement for records retention. It says BFM and the Office of the State Auditor will ensure that the requirements of this section met agencies do not need to alter their own records retention policies. You know, we've looked at that pretty closely, and obviously the Board of Regents will have to alter its policies. I mean, we process our own vouchers in the AP Center, and so we'll need to retain them much longer than we were before. I just point that out.
Okay.
That statement's probably not correct, that we will be altering our retention policies to accommodate the 7 years that are mentioned there as well. So
when you say you process your own vouchers, they still have to go through the state auditor's office, though, right? Or they go through separately?
Technically, they do not.
Okay. That's okay.
And then the anything with general funds goes through the state auditor's office, but even those are not on paper. They're approved electronically by the state auditor's office. So we'll make sure that we're retaining those within our electronic accounting system for the 7 year minimum or maximum, I guess, would be requirement that is in the statute. So, but we're going to comply. Okay. I just wanted to mention that we will have to change our retention policies, and we're working on that.
Okay.
Or it's been done.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. We can update that as well. Any other discussion items? How about agenda items for the next meeting, besides the ones that we will continue to have that are recurring? Okay, well, we'll be in contact before we do a meeting this fall, and if there's other agenda items, we can certainly add them at that time. With that, I would ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Moved by Bex, a second by Barnett. All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed? Great, we are adjourned. Thank you.